Hi, and welcome to Unit 5, Fundamentals of Usability in HIT Systems. What does it matter? This is part of Component 7, Working with HIT Systems. In Unit 5, we will present the basic concepts of usability in general and HIT usability specifically. Students will be exposed to usability bottlenecks and learn to identify usability roadblocks in the EHRS lab system while hypothesizing potential downstream effects of poor usability and suggesting solutions or alternative designs. This unit will detail the relationships between usability, user satisfaction, and workarounds. In this unit, we will begin with general descriptions and definitions of usability and then apply those concepts to HIT systems. Usability has a tremendous impact on the user experience and can also impact satisfaction and levels of acceptance of a system. Poor usability can also engender workarounds, increase error rates, and generate unintended consequences or surprise effects that were unexpected. By the end of this unit, you will be able to explain how HIT usability can affect each of these. Finally, our goal is not only to increase your sensitivity to poor HIT usability, but to also help you to be able to suggest alternatives to HIT usability bottlenecks. Usability is defined by the ISO, or the International Standards Organization, as the extent to which a product can be used by specified users to achieve specified goals with effectiveness, efficiency, and satisfaction in a specified context of use. You will note that the ISO is not talking about computer systems specifically. Usability is applied to any product. So, did you know John Denver's plane crashed because of a faulty design that required that he turn around in the pilot seat, reach his right hand over his left shoulder in order to either shut off his fuel lines or switch from an empty tank on one side to a full tank on the other? It also required that he let go of the controls and reach behind to find the valve and turn it. As the NTSB, National Transportation and Safety Board, discovered, it was difficult to do this without bracing yourself with your right foot and by pressing the right rudder pedal all the way to the floor. And that's what killed John Denver. His plane was seen veering to the right and plunging into the ocean only a few hundred feet up, consistent with the NTSB's reconstruction. Wikipedia defines usability as the study of the ease with which people can employ a particular tool or other human-made object in order to achieve a particular goal. Obviously, John Denver did not find the fuel tank switchover to be easy, with tragic consequences. Jacob Nielsen, one of the foremost experts on usability, asserts that usability is a quality attribute that assesses how easy a user interface is to use. As noted earlier, an interface can be anything from the dashboard of a car to the handles on a door or the layout of a computer screen. And I think that we can all pull to mind rather easily examples of poor usability. I mean, just take a look at the images on the screen. According to the U.S. government website at the bottom of this slide, usability is defined by 5 quality components, but Jacob Nielsen adds a 6th. The 5 start with learnability. Learnability is just how easy is it for users to accomplish basic tasks the first time they encounter the design? In short, how easy is it to learn? How easy is it for a user to accomplish a basic task the first time they touch it? Efficiency is defined as, once users have learned the design, how quickly can they perform the tasks? Does ordering a medication take 6, 8, 10 clicks? That's not efficient. Memorability. This is speaking about when users return to the design after a period of not using it, how easily can they reestablish proficiency? You've often heard, once you learn to ride a bike, you've learned to ride a bike. Memorability is very, very similar. If you've been away from the device for a while and you come back, how quickly can you pick back up your skills? Errors. Errors are talking about how many errors do the users make? How severe are those errors? I mean, are they life-threatening or are they just sort of a slip or maybe a mistake, which are two different things we'll talk about in Unit 6. And then the third part of this is how easily can a user recover from the error? Now, satisfaction is really just a measure of how pleasant is it to use the design. The sixth piece, which is added by Dr. Nielsen, is utility. And that refers to the design's functionality. Does it do what the users need it to do? Usability and utility are equally important. It matters little that something is easy to do if it's not what you want. It is also no good if the system can hypothetically do what you want, but you can't make it happen because the user interface is too difficult.
Think about those six components. Let's take error recovery as an example. Is a message like this particularly helpful to a user? What about this one? First off, in that first display we see at the bottom of the screen, using the word fatal error is not advisable, but particularly in healthcare. And second, a well-designed system will give the user instructions of what to do next, which, other than close window, the example at the top fails to do. It says, this is a generic notification box. And then it tells the user, you should not be seeing this box. That is not really helping me as a user to know what to do with the message. The message must tell the user how to recover from the error. When you decrease usability, you increase frustration. And with increased frustration comes many other side effects that are quite often unpleasant. More about this shortly. Let's return to the ISO.
The ISO standard 13407 specifies the human-centered design process and specifies that it is an approach to design that grounds the process in information about the people who will use the product. UCD, user-centered design processes, focus on users throughout the planning, design, and development of a product. Therefore, user-centered design helps one to achieve a better level of usability. Understanding your user base, how they think, and how they work is absolutely critical. Unfortunately, in HIT, this has not been the way that many systems were designed. And thankfully, this is beginning to change. How can we take that abstract ISO model and translate it into the real world of health and healthcare? It is a 6-step iterative process which really never ends. So UCD requires that you study people in their own environments so you can understand how people deal with specific problems and tasks in the process of interacting with the system. The third step is developing prototypes of new technology solutions or new ways of dealing with a process, and then piloting or field testing those prototypes, which is very important so that you can work with your users to see how the new approach works. So this stage requires absolute humility. You must listen carefully to your user base and then iteratively redesign until an optimal design is achieved. Now, I will warn you, do not confuse optimal with perfect. There are limitations, and the best way to please nobody is by trying to please everybody. The prototype is redeveloped into the next version, deployed, evaluated, and then the whole process starts over again. It's an iterative cycle, particularly in the world of HIT. Change, 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 change. As quoted in Marines Turned Soldiers in the National Review Online, December 10, 2001, four-star General Eric Shinseki, who is now the 7th U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, said, "If you dislike change, you're going to dislike irrelevance even more." In this world of HIT, change is just constant. You're either part of the future or you're history. So just get used to designing, listening, fixing. Then designing all over again, listening all over again, and fixing all over again. User-centered design requires it.
Let's go a bit deeper in regards to usability and its relationship with HIT. Thinking back to that graphic on user-centered design, we must first study and try to understand the user base. Remember, those were the first two steps. Stepping into healthcare, what do we know about our user base in regards to clinical computing? Well, first, we know that docs, nurses, pharmacists, and other members of the team are highly mobile workers who are operating in highly disruptive and stressful conditions. They are distractible and in intense cognitive overload. We know, and one only needs to consider the articles, the required reading for this unit, we know from that literature that overload, interruptions, and distractions increase the chance of medical error. Further complicating the lives of our users, the HIT users, are the restrictions of physical space and restricted freedom of movement. Crowded rooms, impeding furniture, visitors, equipment, they all make maneuvering very much of a challenge in healthcare. So we also know that portability is important. Interruptions in workflow that are encouraged by fixed computing devices, something we call the "I'll chart it later" phenomena, are major contributors to efficiency losses and higher error rates. The rate of turnover is really high of both patients and staff, particularly in teaching institutions where students are rotating constantly. This is an incredible challenge in keeping people trained and competent as new versions of the software come out, the patient needs change, and suddenly the staff is full of new faces. This calls for, remember back to those six components of a usable system, this calls for a system that is easy to learn, easy to remember, error tolerant, helpful, etc. We also know from the literature that workarounds circumvent built-in safety features. Therefore, we end up with results like in the Capel article, where the barcode administration system purchased to reduce medication errors actually facilitated new types of medication administration hazards. As Capel et al. Stated, we need to understand how BCMA systems are actually used in the challenging reality of hospital practice, why BCMA workarounds are so common, and what hospitals can do to find them and to address their causes and unintended consequences. End quote. That is from page 421.
This completes part 1 of unit 5. Please make sure to watch part 2.